Let us bow together in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself doth give me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. If you want a key verse this morning, we'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I want to base the study of God's word this morning upon this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The subject this morning is growing in grace. The word of God very often takes the same truths and describes them in different ways. For example, the beginning of the Christian life is likened to accepting a gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another analogy used in the Word of God to cover exactly the same truth is the experiencing of a birth, the new birth. And the Bible talks about that in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is to say, in order to enter into the realm of spiritual experience, you need to have spiritual life. This is the same truth under another analogy. And of course, when we consider the Christian life, we consider its beginning as a gift from God, or like the birth of a soul. We must move on to consider that it is not enough to be born. It is not enough to begin. We must grow. After birth, there must be growth and there must be development. And so this text declares this morning, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at, of course, how foolish it is to consider trying to live the Christian life if you don't have it. And maybe you're here this morning and you have been trying to live the Christian life, but you've never experienced God's salvation. That's an impossibility. You cannot live the Christian life without first experiencing God's salvation. We must consider, of course, how it is that we can grow from birth, that we can move on, that Christian birth into God's family, can be the commencement of something greater so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers there in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, he said this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So the Christian life is a going on to perfection, or to maturity, as the meaning of the word is. What the writer is getting at is that it is not enough to know the foundational doctrines of the Word of God. From dead works and faith toward God. Unless we move on unto further truth. You see, there is much more to the Christian life than the receiving of it. It is never enough to be converted. We must go on to spiritual maturity. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I must become grown up. I must become a grown up Christian. I must become a balanced, mature Christian. This study this morning has to do with growth. And there are a number of things that I want to draw your attention to in regard to this study this morning. First of all, there is a tragedy to be avoided. A tragedy to be avoided. And the tragedy is this, the tragedy of not growing. A baby is a source of wonder. I don't think there's anything in life like the miracle of a newborn baby. But the baby that does not grow up is not a source of wonder. It is a source of worry. And that is exactly what can happen, and what has happened in the lives of many who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thousands have been converted, born again Christians, but they are still babies. They have never grown up. They have never developed in their Christian life and experience. I draw your attention to what Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the opening verses of that passage, verses 1 to 3. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see, Paul was concerned about this Corinthian church because he perceived they were what he called, what he termed, babes in Christ. What is the mark of a spiritual baby? First of all, there is the ability that is lacking. The Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, they were not able. The ability that was lacking was found in certain departments of their life. First of all, when it came to their feeding, they were quite unable to take anything more than the simplest elementary aspects of spiritual truth. The Apostle John in his epistle, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, he said this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, Paul or John uses various terms in his epistle, little children, fathers, and so forth. He's talking here about little children. Little children. Look at this church at Corinth. They were still little children. They were still in spiritual babyhood. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. What a limited diet they had. Is it not true that our churches are packed full of Christians, converted people? They cannot assimilate anything more than the gospel message. Let me ask you this morning, have you grown up in your Christian life? Or are you still a little baby in spiritual infancy? Paul says, I have fed you with milk. And these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 are very suggestive this morning. Spiritual babies have to be fed. They cannot feed themselves. In spite of the fact that the Holy Spirit is there to teach them, to reveal to them the things of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul said this, that as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And in spite of this fact, that the Spirit searcheth out the deep things of God and reveals the things of Christ unto us, these people here were still on milk in the Corinthian church. Christians incapable of feeding themselves. And the situation in many churches today is very disheartening because there is not much spiritual food on the table in many churches today across this world. The Word of God is not proclaimed. Rather, it is the ideas of man. These don't have much sustenance in them. Of course, you need to be going to a church where you are fed with the Word of God. But more than this, we ought to feed ourselves on the Word of God. I have to feed myself. I have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible teaches us here. The Spirit searcheth out the deep things of God. I have my Bible. And so to you this morning, what a privilege it is in this world to have the Word of God in our mother tongue. We thank God for those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in order to give us the Bible in our own language. If you are not growing up as a Christian, then of course, you're not feeding on the Word. You're not feeding on the Word of God. But if you are growing up in your Christian life, you'll be able to feed yourself on the Word of God. Have a wonderful meal every day from God's precious Word. But these Christians in Corinth were still babies. They were incapable of feeding themselves. They had to be fed. Not only was there the ability that was lacking in terms of feeding, but there was also in the realm of speech. We're thinking here in terms of prayer. Are you talking to God in prayer? That's a vital aspect of the Christian life. We're thinking also in terms of witness and testimony. The Christian who cannot speak is surely a bit of a baby in their Christian life still. I don't mean that you can or cannot get up in a prayer meeting and pray the way some folk pray, but you can pray alone with God. You can still pray. Do you talk to God alone? There's a lacking in Christian churches today of people who have grown from spiritual babyhood. They're still little children. They are still infants in their Christian life and experience. There is need for growing and development in prayer and in witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, they lack a real sense of values. They seize on trivialities of no worth, such as the personality of one preacher against another preacher. That was the case in Corinth. Some were looking at Apollos and some at Cephas and some at Paul and so forth. It was all about personalities. And they were taken up with these personalities. One personality against another personality. And they got excited about little things instead of things that were really mad. The ability was lacking. And I want you to see, secondly, the identity they were losing. Paul says something about them. They walk as men, he said. These people at Corinth, they walk as men. Indistinguishable from the world. Scarcely recognizable as believers. They are alive, but they are so nearly dead that everyone else in the world thinks there's no life in them at all. Just born and no more. Just a flicker of life there, but no more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 11. See the words of Scripture there. It's a great chapter, this, about love. I commend it to your reading and study. When I was a child, talking about infancy here, lack of maturity when I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, you're still in babyhood and still in infancy and still a child. You haven't matured in your Christian life. Oh, the tragedy of protracted babyhood and arrested development. So if you're converted today, may I say this to you, it's never enough to be converted. It's never enough merely to be saved. There are some people who have the passport to heaven and they say, I've got the passport to get in. That's me. I'm going to sit here and do nothing. And they never grow. They never develop. The Bible says, grow in grace. It's the exhortation of the text we quoted at the commencement this morning. Tragedy to be avoided. The tragedy of not growing. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, the necessity that must be provided. If there is going to be growth, essential conditions must be secured in the first place. After there has been birth, if there is to be growth, there must be, first of all, the right environment. Very simple thing, the right environment. Have you ever noticed that it is stressed on the seed packet that you purchase to buy in the spring seeds? If you want to have lovely flowers with gorgeous colours growing in your garden to a lovely height in impressive clusters, you buy the seed optimistically in the hope that your garden is going to be just tremendous. But a gale blows and the whole thing is dead in an hour. Or maybe the cat next door comes in and does the damage. Well, it all sounds good, but on the seed packet you're told the kind of soil and situation where you are to put the seed and it will grow well. We're talking about the instructions earlier to the boys and girls. And sometimes you're to put it in light soil and sometimes in sandy soil, or sometimes in the shade and sometimes in rocky or poor soil, whatever it is, the instructions are there. The right environment, the right environment for spiritual growth. And I believe that there is a right environment for spiritual growth. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. And look at verse 13. He's talking about the body of Christ here in this chapter and talking about the headship of Christ. And he goes on to speak about that body. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is, the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Then he says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's speaking here and saying clearly that the right environment for spiritual growth is within the context of Christian fellowship. Within the context of Christian fellowship. If you're going to grow up spiritually, you cannot grow alone. You have to grow with other believers. Till we all come, he says. Talking about the fellowship of the saints here. Those who are in the Bible believe in Christ-centered church and fellowship. Those who are in fellowship with one another, believers, are the ones who grow. They grow best as they grow together in the Lord. They grow fastest as they grow together. Acts 2:44, all that believed were together. They were together at the throne of grace, together at the church prayer meeting. That's an essential element for every Christian. Together in the seasons of prayer before the meetings, praying that God would come down. Together around the Word of God, as we meet around the Word of God in the study of God's Word, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, not just once on a Sunday, but twice on the Lord's Day. And also at the Bible study midweek. Together around the Word. Together at the table. And one of the most neglected things in the church today is the table. The Lord's table. And people troop out for no reason and don't stay for the Lord's table. It's an essential element of Christian fellowship. Christian development. Together in the service of Christ. When Christ sat and sent out His disciples, He sent them out two by two. There's such encouragement this morning. There's such enrichment that will be gained in Christian fellowship that will stimulate growth among God's people. The right environment. And then I want you to see the right nourishment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The right food. And here we just cannot get beyond the Word of God. There will be no growth apart from the Word. The Word. And I am convinced this is the reason that the heart of the battle in most Christian lives centers around this book. I cannot pick up this book, my friend, this Bible that is open before us today, without difficulty. Because when I go to read my Bible, the devil will attack me. And the devil doesn't want me to read the Bible. You can pick up any other book without difficulty, but not the Bible. Because the devil will attack you. There's a battle going on here for the hearts and minds of believers today. And to get them away from the Word and to get them into contemporary music and to get them into all this sort of things in the church. Get them away from the Word. We must keep to the Word. The decisive battle in World War II was the Battle of the Atlantic. When Britain lay helpless, unequipped, a stream of supplies came across the Atlantic in boats and ships, the German submarines and air force, and the raiders made their all-out attack to cut off England from the United States of America, because that would barricade supplies. If we had lost that battle, the Battle of the Atlantic, we would have lost the war. And my friend, let me suggest to you today and put it to you this morning in this house of God, if you lose the battle of communication between your soul and God through the Word of God, you have lost the war. You will never grow. The Word is the essential element of growth in the Christian life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. We read these words. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. In the words of Scripture. Listen to these words this morning. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Growth is dependent upon meditation and the Word of God. The first verses of Psalm 1, we sang it this morning purposely because it talks about being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. Brethren and sisters, we're not in a reading age. People want to see things on a screen. Nothing wrong with it, of course, in the right context. People want to see things and all that. They don't want to read things. They don't want to read the Word of God. That's why there's lack of growth among Christians. Need to read the Word. Need to get into the Word. Be like the tree planted. Nourishment coming from a hidden supply. For every tree growing up, there's a tree growing down. If there's no tree growing down in your life, there'll be no tree growing up. It's impossible to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord without having the Word. And feeding on the Word. Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish evangelist and preacher, he said this, "What plant is there, if it be not watered, will not wither. What plant is there, if it be not watered, will not wither." We need to be watered by the Word. We need to be in the Word. There's something else I want to leave with you this morning. There's the maturity to be reached. And going back to Paul, as he wrote to the Hebrew believers, chapter 6 of Hebrews, verses 1 and 2, he talked there and he said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." We are to become fully developed, balanced, growing up Christians. That's what Paul is essentially speaking about here. And you'll notice, first of all, the intimacy that maturity enjoys. I wonder whether you've ever noticed the amazing stress that is laid upon knowledge and understanding in this question of spiritual growth. We are told to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look also at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, these things are essential. There's an intimacy here that is required. Maturity, growth, development bring with them a deepening insight into the mind of God. You consider the words of Psalm 103, verse 7, where it says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. He was a man who knew God face to face. Moses was his name. Had an intimate relationship with God. He was on intimate terms with God. And God was able to share with Moses His ways. What He was doing. What He was planning to do. What He was hoping to do. What He was concerned about. They didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. That is, the people of God didn't. But Moses did. Because he had an intimacy with God. Do you really know God this morning? Do you really know Him? I'm not saying, do you know your Bible? I'm not even saying, do you know the Gospel? Do you really know the Lord intimately? This is a mark of maturity. A mark of spiritual maturity. Knowing God. Knowing God. Paul said that I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. And oh, men and women, today we can know about God even as Christians. And we can quote the right verses and we can turn up the right passages. But do we know God in an intimate, real way? That's the question you need to address this morning. And I need to address. Do you really know God? And then there is the responsibility it accepts. When we grow up, we take it for granted that responsibility will be ours. You know now, when you get to 18, in fact, it used to be 21 when I was a young fellow, you got the key of the house. Well, I don't know what time they get the key of the house now. I think they have the key from they're able to toddle about, some of them have the key in their hand. Some of them even have the keys of the car. What is the greatest problem among believers today? It is spiritual immaturity. So many people saved, but they haven't grown up. Here is what you, and where you see it. Maturity accepts responsibility. It accepts responsibility. When you grow up in the ordinary sense, you accept responsibility for earning a living. No longer do you ask your parents for anything. I hope not. You accept responsibility for making decisions. You accept responsibility for taking action. You accept responsibility for caring and providing for others. You accept responsibility for standing on your own feet, to work with your own hands. The words of Jethro to Moses, Exodus 18:22, they shall bear the burden with them. Bear the burden with others. Taking responsibility, you see. Are we part of the burden? Or are we under the burden? If we are spiritually mature, then we are not part of the burden. We are under that burden. We are willing to bear the burden with others. Even in the work of God, we're able to take on responsibility in the service of Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. When for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and there be cups come such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, there are people who have not matured, not able to bear the responsibility, not able to bear the burden. Because they have not matured. What responsibilities are you carrying as a Christian? Not because the minister asked you to do it or somebody else asked you to do it within the church, but because God has told you to do it. What responsibilities are you carrying in prayer, in concern for others, in service for God, in giving to God's work of your tithes and of your offerings to God? was amazed in dealing with someone recently, and they said to me, "Mr. Smiley, for the first time in my life, when you preached about giving, I realized that I had not given all my life as a Christian. And now I've realized I owe God big time." And started to give. I say amen to that, of course. But you know, responsibility. There's responsibility in giving as well to God's work. But you know, if you're a baby, you're part of the burden. But if you're a mature Christian, you're under the burden. That's the difference. We must go on to maturity. Sometimes we don't see a family for a while, and then when we do, we often say, "How they have grown, how that little one has grown." And I notice it even in my own church. I'm away for a week and I don't see the child for a fortnight then, because I haven't been in the pulpit. I come back and I notice the growth, even the little ones in my own congregation. See how they grow. And sometimes we go back to a church where we haven't been for a while, maybe for years, and we see some who are young and inactive, and now they are leaders in the church. That's what we want to see in our churches. They have grown. Not only grown up physically, but they have grown up spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to be born. You must grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. It's not enough to know the gospel. There's more to the gospel than the way into the gospel. It's not enough to be converted. There's much more to the Christian life than just finding the Christian life. God grant that we may grow up. Grow up this morning. Grow up in Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you can't grow because you've never been born. Thank God you can be born this morning. Born into God's family. Through faith in Christ, you can be saved. You'll only trust Him this morning. I trust you will. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.